Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us to come and to lift up your holy name. We thank you, Father, for the cross and what it means to each one of us, Lord. And we couldn't imagine the price that you paid for us. And we thank you, Lord, and we rejoice in that. And we take joy in knowing that, Lord, that all of it was done because you love us and because you created us and because you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us. Lord, we take this time right now, for this is your time. For this is your day that we set apart to honor you. But Lord, we also want to say thank you, Lord, for all the moms out there that give up so much of their life to raise us, to rear us, to hold us, to comfort us, to guide us, to lead us, to be there during the good times and the bad times. It's not easy being a parent. And Lord, there's so much that a mother has to do. And there's so much that a mother is willing to do. And we thank you, Lord, for them today. So we honor them this morning as well. Lord, let it be a day that we give back to you. Lord, it's not so much what we're going to get out of this service, but what we're going to give to this service today. May you use us in a mighty way. In Christ's name, amen. Well, good morning to you. It is great to have you here, and thank you so much. And those of you that are our guests today, thank you so much. We know that you could be anywhere visiting any church, and we say thank you so much for being a part of Living Hope Baptist Church and being with us today on this special day for Mother's Day. But this is your day. As I mentioned, this day is set apart. So kids and husbands, there's no cleaning for them. There's no cooking for them. There's no washing clothes. There's no doing any type of chores for them. And those of you maybe with you by yourself and stuff, I want you to know, take today off. You deserve it. This is your day that is set aside. You know, this morning and throughout this week, I was trying to think, you know, what is it that I would want to share on this day? What would I want to share? And that's it. That's what I would want to share. A groovy little tune like that. Oh, man. I'd want to share this. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. And today, I personally want to take time for us to be able to rejoice in our moms and our wives for everything that they have done. But I also want us to take this time, and I want us to rejoice in the fact that if you have Christ in your life, you have a lot of rejoicing to do. You have so many things to be grateful for. There's so many things that should fill your heart with joy. And as we look at this in our life, I want you to look at your life and say, is that what we're known for? Are you known, whether you're a mom, a dad, a kid, are you known for a person, as a person that rejoices in the Lord? Do people see you as a rejoicer? One filled with joy in your heart. One rejoicing because the Lord is a part of your life. And what's intriguing about this verse is that it's a command. This is an actual command given. And although it didn't sound like a command, because it seems too happy to be a command. I mean, if you think about it, to rejoice, that seems happy, that seems joyful. And so we look at this as not as a command. So we take this scripture, this one command, and we move past it because we don't really feel like there's much obligation to it. We don't really feel like there's much responsibility, much consequences. There's nothing more to it. We just know that we're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be blessed. We're supposed to have joy. We're supposed to rejoice. And so we move on from this particular verse. Matter of fact, there's not another verse in all of the Bible that is like this one verse. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Kids, honor your mother and your father. Those are commands. He also does not say, love thy neighbor. I'll say it again. Love thy neighbor. He does not say, thou shalt not kill. I'll say it again. Don't kill anyone. He doesn't say that. Instead, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. That's my command. Don't look too much past this. Realize there's an obligation, there's a responsibility, an understanding what this command is all about. See, the person that said this was the Apostle Paul. While he was sitting in a jail cell, chained up, they gave him the freedom, though, to be able to write. And thank God we have his writings all throughout the New Testament. See, Paul was not sitting in Hawaii looking over this beautiful sunset and this beach, sipping on iced tea when he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll tell you again, I'm rejoicing. Things are going great for me. It's beautiful here. I'm in heaven, sort of. And he also wasn't rejoicing because he was the Apostle Paul, that he was the man that was going to write most of the New Testament, that was converted on the road to Damascus and had his life radically different. He wasn't rejoicing because who he was. He was rejoicing because who changed his life. It's an amazing testimony and reminder of all of us, to all of us, to honor this command, to have this unspeakable joy that is found only in being his masterpiece. His masterpiece. Now, I'm looking at the audience right now. I'm looking at you guys. And when I said, rejoice in the Lord always, and I said that this is a command, I want you to know when I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, there's probably a lot of things that are going through your mind. Some of you may be saying, yeah, right, Troy, it's easier said than done. You're up there and you're supposed to say this because it's in the Bible. But you try to live my life for a day. I got kids that need this. I got a husband that's wanting this. I have a job expecting this. I have parents and in-laws that is commanding this. I have not hung out with my friends. I have had no time for me ever. And you want me to rejoice in the Lord, and I'll say it again. You want me to seriously rejoice in the Lord when you know that I got all this stuff going on in my life? Right now, I'm just trying to survive. Right now, I'm just trying to make it. Right now, I'm just trying to fight this addiction. Right now, I'm just trying to fight this in my life. I'm going through these obstacles. I'm dealing with what I'm dealing. You don't have no idea what I'm going through. I have no idea what God is even doing right now in my life. I'm trying to figure it all out. And some of us, sometimes when we hear words like this, and it's easy to move past, and we look at a verse like this, and it tells us to rejoice in the Lord, sometimes we'll just say, well, that's just not me. I'm not a rejoicer. It's not my personality to rejoice. I don't have the gift of joy. It's just not a part of my personality. He didn't make me. He didn't design me to rejoice. If someone was to interview your husband, your kids, your friends, your coworkers, what would they say about your joy in the Lord? Now, you could only say that if you have the Lord in your life. If you have the Lord in your life. But what would they say? If they had a 10-minute interview, if somebody sat down and said, describe your mom, describe your wife, describe your friend, describe your coworker, meaning us, what would they say about you rejoicing in the Lord? When I thought about this for my life personally, and this is why I'm preaching this, it's not for necessarily for you. If you get something off this and from this, that will be wonderful. Oftentimes, I preach on the things that I struggle with the most or the things that I need to hear from myself and deal with. I don't listen. I don't get phone calls or texts or counseling sessions and I say, oh, that person probably needs to hear this. Be ready on Sunday, you know. And I bet, you know, I sent a card and reminded them to show up. It doesn't work that way. But when I thought about this for my life personally, it bothered me. This command bothered me the most. I didn't like it. Matter of fact, I'd rather deal with the top 10 commands than deal with this one verse. Deal with this command. Troy, don't kill anyone. Not a problem. I'd probably lose my job. Troy, don't steal from anyone. Not a problem. I'd probably end up in jail and I'd probably lose my job. It's easy to do that one for me. But it merely made me stop and look at myself as a Christian. The way that God designed me, the way that He intended for me to be, the way that He wanted others to look at me. It made me stop and reflect. Am I rejoicing in the Lord throughout my day and my life, no matter what my circumstances are in my life? And the good and the bad? Here's the bottom line. Am I rejoicing that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That should get me rejoicing. That should get me dancing. That should get me shouting for joy. That should make me so excited. That should give me an urgency in Christ to want to live a life that knowing that every single time I get a chance to sit down with somebody that possibly that God will use me right then and right there to be able to say, this is your time I'm giving you right now. Use it to your advantage right now. I need you right now. I need you right now to do something that maybe no one else can do. I'm putting this person in front of you. I'm letting you work with this person. You're in this family for a reason. I'm designing you for a reason. This is your time right now because you don't know how much time you got left. I should be rejoicing knowing that if, that's the big word though, if I have the Lord in my life, I should be rejoicing to know that everything is already there. See, I don't believe a person that gives their life to Christ can ever lose that waiting for them. Matter of fact, he's building it. There I go and prepare a place for you. And someday I'm coming back and I'm going to bring you where I am so that you and I can be together. He's preparing that place. And we are preparing this place right now on earth. I don't want us just to say, oh, that's so nice. What are we going to eat for lunch, though? I don't want us to say, we're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's awesome. Oh, man. I wish my kids would clean up the room. We're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He said, I have plans for you to prosper you. Not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. I need to figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow. I need to figure it out. See, we need to find joy in being His masterpiece. His ways are greater than our ways. And every time in my life, there's times in my life, in the summers especially, you know, we want to go on vacation. You ever been on a vacation and you ever needed a vacation from that vacation? I've been to Italy and it was, trust me, it was an awesome time. But I've never done so much walking in all my life. Looking at everything, because you know you only had like so much time left and you want to see everything and you want to do everything, and then all of a sudden you get back at the hotel and all you want to do is sleep, and all you want to do when you get home is take another vacation and go to Hawaii so you can sit and look at that beach I was talking about earlier. We need a vacation from a vacation, and sometimes that's what's life, and sometimes that's even ministry. We're going to be, ministry can be like that, where you're doing so much for the Lord. And then sometimes we need a break. But I want you to hear, have you ever just decided that you want to take a vacation with the Lord? Not with anybody else. Not with your mom, your dad, your wife, your spouse, your kids. But have you ever just said, Lord, I want to take a vacation with You. I want to get away with You. I want to go take that fishing trip, David, and it's just me and God. See, Dave, if I go with David, he's got to do all the work. He's got to put the hook on. He's got to do everything. He's even got to take off the hook when if I catch anything. That's not a vacation. But have you ever just said, I want to take a vacation with You, God? Remember, notice what I said. Take a vacation with the Lord. Not have you ever considered taking a vacation from the Lord? That's easy for me to do. I do it all the time. I take a vacation from the Lord all the time. My problem is, though, I miss rejoicing in the Lord because I haven't taken a vacation with Him. I haven't made Him a part of my day. And I've missed something. And I wonder why sometimes I'm not rejoicing in the Lord. It's because I don't have the Lord with me in myself. I know the Lord is with me. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I miss it because I'm not in commune with Him. I'm not spending any time with Him. I'm not listening to what He has to say. I'm just busy with stuff. I miss just talking to Him. I miss sometimes just seeking out His wisdom and listening to His voice speak to me through the Scriptures and through the Holy Spirit. I don't want it just to be about Sundays at church where I can go on vacation with Him for an hour. Sometimes even maybe that meal and saying that quick little prayer, or maybe possibly, you know, some of you guys are maybe a lot better to having those morning quiet times and those evening quiet times, and maybe you take them to your job, and maybe it's a part of your job, and that's awesome. It's wonderful. But oftentimes I find it hard to go on vacation with the Lord. When I was at Texas Tech, when I went to college, this really got to me. I had just become a believer, and I was excited to learn and to grow and to learn from people, just to grow spiritually. And I was even literally doing, I'll be honest with you, I was doing like 5 or 7 different ministries, Young Life, Navigators, I was doing a dorm ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ, Wesley Foundation, I was discipling literally 9 people. I was doing a lot of things for the Lord. I see, I was busy for God, I just forgot that He was on the trip with me. And sometimes we can get so busy, even in ministry, even in different things in our lives, that we forget who we're actually doing this for, and we forget sometimes to take Him with us and slow down long enough just to say, hey, don't forget about me. This is why you're doing this. And we sometimes can, it's almost like the joy just falls out in ministry. So I was driving back to Dallas and decided that that's it. I'm going on vacation with the Lord. So for 6 hours, instead of listening to Garth Brooks, I turned off my radio, and I was silent for 6 hours. I went on vacation with Him. And you know what? It was literally one of the best drives, as best it can be, going from Lubbock to Dallas, that I've ever had in my life. And on my way back from Dallas to Lubbock, I did it again for another 6 hours. I went on vacation with the Lord. And for the next several years, I did the same thing over and over for 6 hours. I went on vacation with the Lord and kept the radio and everything off and just thought about Him and what He was doing in my life. And then one day I was coming back from Lubbock to my roommate said, hey, because since he lives in Dallas, in Oak Cliff, he said, hey, can I go back with you? And I said, yeah. 2 hours into the trip, we're in Sweetwater, and I hadn't spoken a word to him. The radio's been off. He's just been sitting there, and he's a musician, by the way. And he finally looks at me, and he went Oak Cliff to, like, California really quick. He's like, dude, can we listen to some tunes, man? And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. He wasn't used to it, but I got used to it so much that it was just a part of my life then, because I knew that that's what I wanted. And we got to talk about that, why I did that. To this day, my wife and my kids usually always has to turn on my radio every time. I don't have the radio usually going at all. Just because, I don't know why, those are my time to go on vacation. So if the radio goes on, then they have to listen to like 1980s music. So my kids know a lot of 80s. See, God longs to be alone with us. He so loved us. I'll make your path straight. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You ever cling to those verses? See, He comes as a husband to the bride of Christ to provide for us. As you look at this, He comes as a husband to the bride of Christ to provide for us. Are you needing someone to provide for you? He comes as a shepherd to a lost lamb for protection when you need Him daily. Are you looking for a shepherd? He comes as a friend to the lonely that needs promises. Are you looking for someone to fulfill an obligation or hold on to a promise? Has people been breaking your promise that He'll never leave or forsake you? He comes as a heavenly Father that needs a parent to guide and to hold us. He comes as a Savior and a Lord for the one that needs purpose in His created world. Are you looking to become His masterpiece? See, I think many of us think that it's too unbelievable for a God of the universe to want to do all these things. To be that husband, to be that shepherd, to be that friend, to be that heavenly Father, to be that Savior, to be that Lord in our life. That longs to go on vacation with us. It's too unbelievable. You're too far out there. I can't bring you to me. I can't understand that. I can't get that. I can't bring that to me where I understand that you desire to be all these things for me. See, God says that I don't want to just take you on vacation. I want to be a part of every day of your life. So we got to remember that we are His masterpiece. This is where He rejoices in Himself. This is where He finds joy in making us, using us. You see, this is what makes God smile. Have you ever felt in your life that you are annoying God with all your doubt and your worries? He ever got to the point, it's like, all right, God, I'm sorry. One more time. I know it's late, but I really got this test tomorrow, or I really have this deadline tomorrow, or God, this is really going on in my life. My husband just walked out, you know, my wife just left me, and I just lost my job. I have no money for the bills, but if it's not too much of a nuisance, can you help a brother out? Sometimes we approach God like, like we're annoying him. And he's like telling us, annoy me. Come to me. All you are heavy burdened, all you that are weary, all that you are struggling, all that you are going through, what you're dealing with, all your happy times, I want to be a part of those things too. Come to me. What do you think I'm here for? I didn't leave you down there to figure it all out on your own. I got a plan to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. Your ways are not my ways. My ways are always perfect. I got a plan for you. Don't worry about you annoying me. I got all day because half this world, they ain't coming to me. They're going to other things. They're going to idols that are dead. They're going to gods. They're going to false things. You remember that first and second command? Don't worry about that. You ain't going to find joy in those things. They're all dead. King David struggled with this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock that was firm, that was strong. David cried out, and he had everything. Have you ever been there, church? In Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, if you haven't turned there, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, in the Old Testament. I need to find joy of being his masterpiece. And when I came across this, went on one of my vacations, on one of my times when I was wondering what David was struggling with when in Psalms 40, when he was making that cry. And I wonder what maybe other people in the Bible are dealing with when they're wondering what their purpose and their plan for their life is. When God is actually literally speaking to people through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through however he speaks, which is all different ways. And here he approaches the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. And this just totally blew me away. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you, hold on to that, before I formed you, before I knitted you together in your mother's womb. How fitting for Mother's Day. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were that twinkle. Right, parents? Before you were that twinkle, I knew you. I had a plan for you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He spoke to Jeremiah. And I read this and I was amazed. And I said, can I have a relationship like that? Did he know me like that? Is this really true? Was this just only really for Jeremiah? Is this just for people in the Bible 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago? Is it just for them? Do you have to be a prophet? Do you have to be an apostle? Did you have to be in the inner circle with Jesus? Or can this really be for me? Can this really be for my kids? Can this really be for the whole church? Can this really be for the whole entire world? For I love the world. I gave my only begotten Son for the whole world. And here the Lord is saying, before you are born, I am deciding your purpose in your life. I am making your personality, your abilities, your strengths, your weaknesses, your talents, your looks, your everything, and even your free will. I'm forming it together. I know what you're going to do. I know because I have plans for you.
And then as I looked at other scriptures. Oh, that's just the Old Testament talking to these people. And when we look at the New Testament, Paul spoke in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Watch this. "Which God prepared in advance for us to do." It was all being prepared. It was all being planned. It was all being prayed about. We have a purpose like no other. Church, this should give us joy and give us something to rejoice about. Not only is your name, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but He also has given us a way to rejoice because He has prepared in advance for each of us. We are all individuals. We are all individual masterpieces. And there's a lot of pieces in our life that's waiting to be put together, that's willing to and waiting to be planned out. And here is a puzzle with 1,000 pieces. This is just as 1,000. And in real life, God is orchestrating each piece in our life. And He knows. God knows where every piece is. And He knows that even though you may be trying to put this piece together, and that piece may be with that piece, and that piece may be with those pieces back there, for us, it's a mess. For us, it may take 39 years. I'm 45, and I'm still trying to pick up these messes. And I have a feeling that I've only probably put together about a few of these things because I really don't even know where to start. But see, the thing is that God already knows where to start. He knows which piece He's trying to put together. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about trying to put these pieces together because He's already got a master plan. He knows which piece He's going to pick up next. But to us, it's a mess. He's orchestrating it. He didn't just create something and then put this big old puzzle piece together and then we just go and there's just this frame everywhere. Look at me. This is who I am forever. It may just be a few pieces at a time. But that's the hard part. He says, "I have a purpose for you all. A plan like no other." I'm like a magician today. My family and I, we like tacos. And so did the person I'm going to talk about. When we look at this for tacos, before something was created, You just had to slice these cheeses and use this one instrument and put this on your taco. And it just doesn't seem right to put this on my taco. And then all of a sudden, some man was smart and he came up with this tool. He said, I'm going to make something that's easier to eat for my tacos. This came out. I have no idea what this is. Pizza. I just know that every time something's created, it's for a purpose. See, I think that's what the Lord is trying to tell Jeremiah. You're no accident. I'm making you piece by piece for a heavenly purpose. See, I'll be honest with you. My mom, I don't think she really had a... I have an older sister and I have an older brother. That's a year and a half older than us. And then I don't think my mom was really planning on having me and Eric. Especially Eric, since he came out 5 minutes later. I was an accident. He was a little bit bigger of an accident. And back then, you didn't even know you were having twins. Our heart was in sync at the same time. And they say, hey, you're having a baby. Hey, you're having twins. But see, to the Lord Almighty, He had a heavenly plan that no one saw coming. Sometimes we may feel like we may be an accident. We're just here on earth. But see, God says, you're no accident to me. I knew you before I even formed you. I knew you. I had plans for you. I have a purpose for you. You got things you haven't began to do yet. I am designing you as this instrument, as this toy, to be able to do all these things for me. I formed you. Don't forget that, Jeremiah. And then you look at the scriptures and you look at Jeremiah and you probably say, okay, Jeremiah. He said, okay, God, no problem. Okay, let's do it. Let's go change the world. You called my name. All right, let's go do it. I'm a prophet. Sweet. That's awesome. You're going to use me in mighty ways? Awesome. Let's go. But that was not his response. And I quote, and he said, he told God Almighty, verse 6, ah, sovereign Lord, I got some bad news. I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. He did not say, I am this masterpiece for the Lord. You have been working on me for several years now. I am ready to go. Instead, he whines about it. Instead, the weeping prophet complains. He gives excuses. He sounds like Moses. He sounds like Troy DeFeo. My past is too bad. I'm just a mom. I'm just this. I'm just that. I'm not worthy. I'm not physically able. I'm too young. I'm too old. I can't speak. I'm out of practice. I'm a widow. I'm a widower. I'm too busy. I don't have enough money. My kids are in college. I don't have a job. I can't do this. Maybe when I retire. Oh, yeah, I forgot because I was retired. Rejoice in the Lord always. Get alone with God on vacation to see the pieces that He's trying to reveal to you. Understand that each person has a purpose, no matter who you are. I'm closing. See, Moses said to God, "Send Aaron, I can't speak." And remember what God said to Moses? "Who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? I formed you before you even knew me, boy. Who made your mouth?" And you know how it went after that with Moses. Jeremiah says, "I'm just a child, though. I'm just a widow. I'm just a guy that's trying to make it. I'm uneducated. I'm this, I'm that. I'm a drug addict. I'm divorced. I got problems. I'm too short. I'm too ugly. I can't speak. I'm bald. We all got unbelievable excuses. I tell my kids every single day in sixth grade when I teach, whatever you're about to tell me why you didn't do this, it's a great excuse. Now bring it tomorrow. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." See, I have this boy, as I close, I have this boy in my class. And he came to me, and he sat down, and I was doing roll. And everybody said, "Here," except for this boy, and he just rose his hand. I said, "Say here." "No, you need to say here." Because I was trying to teach him to say here. He raises his hand. And I realized the boy couldn't talk. And I walked over to him and I whispered in his ear. I said, "Can you talk?" He goes, I said, "You can't say anything?" I said, "Just say hi." "You can't, just," and I realized, okay, I need to stop. He's never uttered one word this whole entire year. Not one word. Not to me. Not to one of his friends, not to anyone in class. But God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, sweet boy. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, Samuel, which God prepared you in advance to do." I can only imagine what this mom thinks every time she drops him off at school, wondering what his future may be. And she'll get a call from me this week that he became what I call my MVP for the year of all my students. He's my MVP. Not because he couldn't speak. Not because there was something wrong with him. Not because that I felt sorry for him. But because this guy did everything I asked him to do. Everything. Just like every other boy and girl in my class. Without excuse. See, I believe it's offensive to God to say that he messed up in his creation. I believe it's offensive to God to say that we don't have gifts and we don't have talents and we don't have a purpose. That we too are not His MVP, used and created for His workmanship in this life. That we're not His masterpiece. That we're not an F-16 ready to fly right now. That we're not a cruise liner ready to go on destinations and take people places that they have never seen with the Lord. That we're not this pottery that we're just going to sit on a shelf because maybe we got some cracks and we're broken and a little messed up because of our doing. But God is the potter in the clay, forming it and making it exactly the way that He intended to be. Cracks and all. That we're not the puzzle piece, all 1,000 of us scattered all over the place. And we're just supposed to stay in a box and not let Him orchestrate and put the pieces together the way that He intended it for it to look. See, God does not want us to sit on a runway or in a harbor strapped up, gaining rust, or in a box, not ever broken and ever coming out to become something special. I believe our communities and our church, our families would be rather special, would find joy in the Lord, would rejoice in the Lord if we realized that. See, God says, here's a Mother's Day gift. Here's a Father's Day gift. Here's a gift for every single one of you. I have plans to prosper you. And if you were to go down and read a little bit more in Jeremiah as I close, verse 17 says, God says, get yourself ready. And verse 19, He says, I am with you. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Because God's got a masterpiece He wants to show the world. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank You for the opportunity just to be able to come and to rejoice that You are Lord of our life. Father God, there may be people here that maybe have struggling of where they fit into this life and feel like maybe they are this piece trying to put together this puzzle on their own. And the fact of the matter is, it's not really us that's supposed to be putting the pieces together. It's You that's putting the pieces together. For You know what the end result looks like. You know what You created before the end of time. You know what You have set before us. We are just supposed to trust You. Your ways are better than our ways. And so we give You this time. We come to You, Lord, and know that, God, that we know that it's not us. It's not us that has to create this. Let everybody know, Lord, today is Your day. It's Your day for us to be able to rejoice and know that we are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father God, I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know You, I pray that they would find You today to talk to me, talk to just You at in their pews and sit, or maybe they just need to come and just pray, just by themselves, and just say, today is the day I'm going on vacation with You. Lord, today, let it be Thy will. It's Thy will be done. It's Your will. It's not our will, but it's Your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.